One man can change the world with a bullet in the right place.
There, take that. Excuse me. Not a fan of the big stuff. I'm sorry. I don't want to disappoint folks, but no, I ain't there yet.
That's all right.
And I'm just going to put this out there because fuck it. I'm not into Full Auto, guys. Sorry. Nope. Nah, man. It doesn't do it for me.
What about 3-round bursts?
That's not too bad. I like, and this is probably why I don't really care for shotguns. I like the precision. The one, bah, there. The one, maybe it's the call and response, the cause and effect of it all. Shooting full auto just feels like a fucking waste.
And yeah, but we're wasting somebody else's ammo at this event.
Yeah, but like, I'd rather enjoy each of one of those shots, you know,
fair,
and see my target and see the impact. Like, so I shot my first AK, and that was from whom?
Century Arms.
Okay. This is going to sound real fucked up. Like, I see why niggas in the hood don't be making those shots, because this shit goes all over the fucking place, bro. Like, drive-by shootings, I see why there's a high casualty rate, because you hitting the fucking girl down the block. Like... Nah.
You start aiming at the front door, you land on the 13th
floor. Really? Yeah. Like...
Well, there is a solution to that, is learning how to operate those types of firearms more effectively, which is why at Black Bag Resources, I created the combat-hardened urban marksmanship program. So gangbangers can get chump certified.
I'm just going to let myself figure out what sound effect to put right after that. And leave space for creativity, ladies and gentlemen.
What the fuck?
Yeah, okay. So, again, going back to my 80s movies references, I see why the heroes in the action movies never really got shot, because the fucking terrorists with the AK-47s can't shoot. They're fucking stormtroopers. It's all over the place. But that's just the full. That's just the effect of full auto. Because even when I shot the AR from the one with the two ladies, it's right
Stern
there.
Defense. Stern defense.
Yeah, Stern defense. Like, I didn't enjoy that in full auto either.
The 45 again, ACP.
I like boom cat, boom cat. I like.
It's also a
that cause and effect.
It's also a comfort level, right?
This is the deep end of the pool.
This is the deep end of the pool.
Right.
You fire full auto firearms enough, you learn how to control them. You learn to have it not walk up on you.
Hmm.
You know, it's been a long time since I fired some of the things that I fired.
Right.
First couple rounds, it took 3 or 4 rounds before I remembered where I need to lean in and where I need to just let it rip. And it didn't walk.
Do you get the satisfaction of that repetition on target hit?
Different guns provide different satisfaction as far as repetition goes.
Okay.
When you can take a full auto firearm and put either the vast majority or all of your rounds into the target effectively, yes, it provides that same sort of satisfaction.
Okay.
When you're hitting a steel plate, so again, tomorrow, I think the best option would be to put you on CMMG's full auto 22.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you can shoot the steel target and you get bring because every single one of those rounds is hitting.
Right.
Because you've got better control because it's only a 22.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to enjoy that more. So we can revisit this.
Okay.
You know, after
so
that.
So real quick, to get back to Stern Defense.
Mm-hmm.
So they had two different full auto pistol caliber carbines there. One of them was 9mm,
mm-hmm.
and it was a little bit slower of a cyclic rate.
The 45 was zippy.
The 45 might as well have been a
hose.
A hose, yeah, a garden hose of lead. But the 9mm,
straight up,
you could. It's very manageable.
Mm-hmm.
When you're comparing it to the AK, or if you got down to some of the other ones, some of the other you know, the 308s, the full auto 308s and stuff like that, and like some of the other full auto firearms that were there.
Right.
They're 45 versus their 9mm. Pretty much very similar firearms, but calibers were different and they were tuned a little different.
Mm-hmm. Impulse, recoil, impulse. Yeah,
recoil, impulse is different. Like, there's a lot of differences between them, but pretty much the same feel and form factor. And with the 45 being a slower round, but a faster cyclic rate or rate of fire, if you just get a good grip on that, like a good purchase on the rifle,
mm-hmm.
you just pull that and your 10 rounds are done in a blink of an eye, and you don't get a chance to
have the muzzle rise.
Have that muzzle rise. So yep. what happens is when you're on target, if you're on a silhouette or you're on a steel target, you know, 40, 50 yards out, and you're, you know, you're lined up and everything, and you get a good grip on it, and you just squeeze that trigger, that thing's not going to get a chance to move, and you're going to hear the majority of those impact that steel.
Right.
And it's, as an advanced shooter, it's more of a challenge. Like, as a, like how you like the one shot, one result, one shot, one result, one shot, one result, and you're in the precision portion of your journey,
mm-hmm.
where you're looking for the mechanics and the sight picture and everything, and you're looking at those things and you're coming up with, I pulled the trigger, I had an effect, I hit the target, I'm gonna reset. When you get to the point where you've been doing this for quite a while,
mm-hmm.
And this is only my opinion, you start taking that stage for granted, because you've done that stage so often, and us being from New Jersey, we don't have the opportunity for full auto, and some of these, like a lot of the stuff that's here is like absolutely not even a snowball's chance of being allowed in our state. So it's a challenge on the advanced shooter, like on the people that have been in the industry for a while and who don't get the opportunity to do this all the time. That might be why we get geeked up over it,
mm-hmm.
versus where you're
just not there yet.
You're just not there yet, and that's the whole thing of that's your journey that you're in right now. Obviously, you know, name of the podcast,
right?
Let's revisit this in 5 years. No, seriously, I want this conversation in five years.
It could change,
because I will be very interested to see over that course of time how your opinion on it may or may not change, right?
Yeah.
I mean, think about how many people there have no desire to shoot full auto. And we talk about full auto. The majority of the firearms there were not full auto. Like, it was only a small handful.
Right.
But they made up the lion's share of the noise. So you're sitting there, and in between all of these, like, strings of fire that sound like thunder,
pop,
you've
pop,
got one little firearm there in the middle where you got, like, Bursa showing off their new 9mm, and you have Canik with a couple of different handguns there.
The Rival,
yeah. Kel-Tec, you have all these different manufacturers there, and they're getting hands-on with single, like semi-automatic firearms and mm-hmm. shotguns, and they had clays flying. So we talk about the full auto being like the geeked up thing for us.
Mm-hmm.
For me personally, it's because I have no hope of owning one as a New Jersey resident at this time. So
yeah.
For me, the opportunity to take all that skill building that I've done with, pardon me, all that skill building I've done with all of the firearms I've had through the years, and to say, I know how this round is going to react in this firearm with this weight, and I learned the mechanics of it, for me to now say, I'm going to translate that and be able to harness the speed at which this is firing, that is something that I feel personally is the enjoyable thing about shooting a full auto firearm. I am not going to lie. Practicality of full auto, in my opinion,
meh,
not really. I mean, there's a reason why, you know, militaries offer a, you know, select fire, it's semi-automatic or fully automatic, you know.
Yeah.
For a long time,
Yeah.
They were three. The M16s were three round bursts.
Yeah, because it was an impractical thing. You melt the barrels, you put a lot more heat into it, you strip the rifling out of it. You can't handle it. I mean, how many times do people put gloves on? Or, you know, I mean, we saw Century Arms literally pouring water on the AK and, like, steaming it because it was so hot that no one could touch it. I mean, Mean Arms was running their that crazy high-temp polymer handguard on some full auto stuff. And they got to the point where, like, yeah, we're approaching, you know, dangerous temperatures for aluminum. But because they're using their
1800 degree-ish.
Yeah, because they are using that proprietary polymer that they're using, their handguards are still not deforming. You know, and they could fire longer than some of the other things that were out there just because of the way that they designed their stuff.
But you still don't want to grab a hold of it.
Heck no! Absolutely not! Because God forbid you touch anything metal on that, if you don't know exactly where you're grabbing, you are grabbing fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I made the mistake. I grabbed the 60 barrel today.
Yeah.
When I was shooting that 308, there was smoke coming right up my nose. I'm just like, I smell it. But it's on fire.
You were literally burning the machine oil, like the actual oil that they used to protect, the protecting oil that was on there. That got so hot, so fast, that you were literally smoking the protecting oil off of the gas tube and barrel and anything that oversprayed. Because remember, we started this event. First thing, we were one of the first people out there. We were,
that is true.
You know, we were there really early, and we were at the Mad Minute, and we had a lot of different things out there. I mean, so all of these vendors bring their A game. I mean, there's a lot of people here. There's a lot of influential people here, and they don't want someone to get a bad taste in their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So if a firearm so much as hiccups,
it gets pulled.
It gets pulled off the line.
Yeah.
People, you know, like if somebody sees something, they're like, oh, this is going wrong. Get it off the line. Don't let anybody see it. You know, like pull.
The other thing is, full auto is a good torture test for a lot of other equipment. Right.
That's true.
It's one of the things I talk about with the magazines that I deal with. If the magazine can keep up with these machine guns, it's going to be more than enough for the average shooter shooting a semi-auto. Right.
Yeah.
And they're not going to have to worry about it.
And machine guns always break. They are always in a state of constant repair and disrepair.
Okay.
Like, it is, it's hard on the mechanical components.
That's why if you look at some of the things that Eric from IV88, if you look in his back catalog,
are meltdown
tests, where you see what product fails. In an AR platform, in an AK platform, does the suppressor melt out of it? Do the baffles come out? Does the bolt carrier shear off? Like, does it break and, you know, lug shear off? I mean, does the barrel start to droop and the barrel actually heats up to the point where the metal becomes malleable? You know, we've seen that happen in full auto firearms. So these manufacturers, if they're willing to put a full auto on the line, they're so confident that their products are going to hold up under this ridiculous stress that it pretty much gives you like a confidence level of like CMMG. Let's be honest, CMMG makes amazing parts.
Right.
All right. You know, and I was joking, and I'm going to go, you know, look at some of the old stuff that they have. They made a product called the Anvil years ago, and it wasn't a very popular firearm, but it was the only one that was strong, like in that particular caliber. You know, it was great. The Mutant.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we seen the Mutant at this event where they just run 30 round mag after 30 round mag after 30 round mag, and it's just people lined up? And this thing's just firing for...
It is one of my most favorite guns.
Yeah. It'll fire for 3 hours straight, 2 hours straight, and they're literally just taking it, and they throw a cooler, a bucket of water, and they just throw the rifle in there, grab the next rifle, and start shooting, and then when that one cools down enough and stops boiling the water, they snatch it out of the water, shake it off, and start shooting it again. I mean, it is a tank of a gun. You know, and they're that confident that they put it on the line and say, listen... Here, break it. Good luck. Yeah, I dare you.
Yep.
You know?
So full auto does have its place.
It does, but it does. It's not.
It's not an everyday place.
And it's not for everyone.
No. Not at all.
Not at all.
Speaking of everyone, you had a lot of fun today. Speaking of full auto fun, you had a lot of fun today.
I did. I was able to, shortly before coming down here, acquire a full 200-round disintegrating link belt, the 308. There's only a few firearms that will fire said bag. One of which is my most favorite of machine guns, the M60. The other would be the 240B. And I got to fire both today. Basically, just about 100 rounds out of each. Or 140, I don't know. I have a little bit of a belt left over. But it was a good time.
How much is in that? How many rounds is in that belt?
It's a 200 round linked belt. You break it up. You don't want to. Listen, the 60 is an older gun. You don't want to sit there and do a straight 200 round burn through it. You're going to blow out the barrel.
You're going to break full auto stress.
It's going to break.
Okay.
It's an amazing design. Right. You know, it's. We stole it from
the Germans.
With the MG42F?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. You know, the reciprocating loading gate is an amazing design, and it's been in absolutely everything from the M60 to the 240 Bravo to, oh God, what was the Russian one that did the same thing?
A multitude of firearms.
Yeah, like PKM. I think so. Either way, the design has pretty much been copied over and over and over again, and we still use it to this day in the light machine gun roles. But my favorite is definitely the M60. There is the cyclic rate in that is perfect. They improved some things with the 240 Bravo, and this may be an unpopular opinion. You know, things like not having to throw the charging handle back because it has a depressed button so that you can load the mags easier or load the belts easier. There's a little cutout so that you can load half belts easier instead of starting with a fresh, because the disintegrating links have, if you break a belt in half, you don't start with a smooth belt.
Gotcha.
So the 60 has just a wall there that you butt the first round into.
Right.
But if you're breaking a link, you have a hook.
I got you. Because right. I know what you're talking about. It's like,
so
with
you
got
to lay a couple rounds over top of.
It's like with LED lights.
With the 240 Bravo, they improved upon that. You can just load that in. So there are some improvements. I don't think shortening it helped it. It's much easier to shoot a 60 than a 240 Bravo, in my opinion.
Okay.
I think the Bravo is heavier. I think the 60 is lighter. The 60 has a longer barrel, more accurate, especially if you have it on a tripod and you're doing triangulation, so on and so forth. But the recoil impulse is much nicer, and it just makes this chug-chug sound that is amazing. So, yeah, I got to do that. I got to shoot that. I got to shoot... an Israeli FN Foul 308 suppressed.
That shit did not sound suppressed.
Well, no.
I can only imagine how much louder it really was.
You're running spicy 308s through a can. It's not that much suppressed.
Okay.
It was suppressed. It was.
You're reducing the noise, but not to hearing safe levels.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Not everything sounds like a hush puppy in the movies.
And that really was just because, hey, it's the silent. It's the silencer hour. What do we have? What can we throw together to bring down to the range? And it just happened to be the FN Foul. And, you know, actually, that was the first time I ever fired one of them. And it was also a surprisingly soft shooting 308. It was easy for me to shoot accurately.
It looked like a nice classic firearm.
So that thing has seen service in every part of the globe for a long time. It's your classic battle rifle. It's up there with the M1 Garand as far as I'm concerned. And I know that's a bold statement, but I'll stand by it. If you get them working and if you get them running,
yeah,
they will run.
What did they call it? The right arm of the free world?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had a lot of fun. I wasn't necessarily here to shoot all the guns on the line. I had specificity in mind.
Yeah.
For today.
Yeah.
And I achieved that, and I am a very happy camper.
I think we're all very satisfied at the end of today because we did a lot.
It was a very full day. Very hot day.
Fuck yeah. Oh, God.
I did not drink enough water today.
Well, tomorrow's another day. Better preparation, more salt tablets. Yeah. More magnesium.
I've been eating salt right out of the packet since I got home. Or back to the hotel. Yeah.
What else? Anything else tickle your fancy?
See? The AK that you did not like?
Right.
I loved.
Okay. So did I.
I absolutely loved it. That thing ran like a champ.
Great cyclic rate.
Cyclic rate was good. Yeah. Recoil impulse was great. Controllability was pretty good. Listen, it's an AK going full auto. There is always going to be a level of...
It's going to move. It's going to climb. Yeah.
It's going to climb.
Yeah.
It is... when it gets going, it's angry.
Yeah.
It's... The gun sounds angry when it's going full auto. It's the only way I can describe it.
I totally agree.
Everyone, and this totally is the thing agree. I love about the diversity of firearms. They all are unique. They all have...
characteristics.
Character.
Yeah.
They have a personality.
Very true.
You know?
Yeah.
Very true.
Some are spicy and angry. Some are... you know, absolute pussycats, and some of them are monstrosity behemoth Hulk claps.
Yeah. I know for me, I like testing the limits of firearms, and not necessarily with like how fast, how hot, how whatever. And seeing as how we're in Jersey, I can't have a suppressor, so I go out of my way to try to find like factory ammunition that's quieter, that's softer to shoot when I go to indoor ranges and things like that. So I managed to find an ammunition that I really like in 9mm, and I try to find as many different firearms as I can to try it out and to see it run in, what was it, the MP40? The open bolt machine gun, like a suppressed open bolt machine gun, to run something that didn't, there wasn't even a thought of it existing when that gun came out, and it ran fantastic. And then to go into...
What was funny was you could hear the difference in the cyclic rate because of the weight of the projectile.
Yes. Like even the owner of the firearm, who is a master gunsmith, like one of the, you know, one of the upper echelons.
Shout out to Mark Novak, because he's incredible.
He is like head and shoulders above the majority of anyone out there, and he is a wealth of knowledge. He was generous enough to let me fire this firearm, and he was like, I've never heard of that ammunition before. And then I showed him it was factory ammunition, and I showed him the specs on it, and he was like, I want to see if that's going to run, because his interest, like I managed to pique the interest of someone at that level. And to know that he had the same, like, curiosity that I have in a firearm that was that old and that, you know, that, like, taking, like, something very old and very modern and actually getting it to work. And he was just as shocked as I was.
And it had an extraordinarily unique sound.
Yes.
Really?
I was far away from the firing line. And we knew exactly when he had that mag loaded up, because your head turns.
Went from to but you could hear it's the same gun, but that cyclic rate changed.
Yeah.
And yeah, and it was neat.
When we got into it, we really put the heavier, slower ammunition in it.
Right.
Like, other firearms enthusiasts were like, this is suppressed, and this is like the way that this is you can hear the mechanics of the gun move. You still heard the report, you still hear the impact and everything like that.
Right.
But it's not overshadowing the mechanical noise. Like, you can hear the mechanical noise in it.
It's a different blending
Of the signature. So it's like you hear pop, you hear click, you hear bang, you hear everything Ka-chunk. Moving.
Yeah.
It slowed everything down, but it still ran. And then that same ammunition ran in a modern fully automatic.
Just don't blow out that vape next to that detector, please. Or the one behind you.
It ran just as well in like the stern defense, and then the ball bearing delay from mean arms. It ran in that, and it ran in all these different things.
Bearing delay system, yeah. Did you not get a chance to see that?
No.
That was right next to the AK.
No.
That we showed.
Yeah, they're all the way down at the end.
They'll be there tomorrow. They're on the cutting edge of stuff, and they finally released a fully functional upper that found out that they can make it, and they offer a...
It's finally commercially available
after years. And they have a New Jersey compliant upper from them out of the box. Like, it can be shipped to New Jersey.
That's a beautiful thing.
Because it is pinned and welded and all the compliance work is done to it. And it is something that I have been waiting for 3 years when we got to test the prototypes. Like, we got to see this is a concept from this company. Hmm. And we've watched the evolution of Mean Arms with, like, this is how we're doing this, and these are the angles, and then it went into this is the handguard, and then, like, we watched the whole progression and culmination of this product come to fruition from its prototype stage. So, I mean, that was just so much fun. That, and watching your face, Max, like, I was behind the camera for a better part of the day, so I seeing you experience all of these things for the first time and seeing that wonder, like, seeing it through somebody who's
fresh eyes, fresh experience, first time seeing this after we've done it, you know, so much.
Right.
Like, it loses some of the luster.
It's like watching the kid on Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. Or if you've been to Disney 20 times, and then you take your kids for their first time, there's a different level of excitement
there. Absolutely, that I couldn't have said it better. I couldn't say it better.
Well, I'll say this: it's equally as exciting to have the Jedi Order escorting me through these missions with the fucking wealth of knowledge and information and know-how that literally just sitting in this one room alone, and then. You know, to walk around an event such as this, and not only do people know you, you guys know the people, and you guys are talking like you're old friends with this, and then you start fucking Bubba Gumping out with shit, and it's like, oh, look at my boy. See, I got some good masters, man. They're fucking awesome. And what makes me really even happier is to know that the Bagman's got a discount code for this episode.
You're going to go to stinkusa.com, our sponsor for this show, Stuffin' Things. Use coupon code NEW2PEW to get yourself 10% off site-wide.
So that's it for this episode. Be sure to check out the sponsors we mentioned earlier. If you want to join the conversation, you can email us at new2pew@blackbagresources.com. You can check out the website, blackbagresources.com. And if you really want to go deep, you can check out the Black Bag Resources Network and become a part of the community. Thanks for listening.